is the South Side's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling 25-20. Got a block for Brom. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. Trubisky to the 42-yard line. Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Crane. One, two. He made it. He did it. Steamboat's like Russell. And Flair has done it. Flair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up, band? Welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000. With open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/tweetjhood. Hit me up on Snapchat, snapjhood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back, guaranteed. On the program tonight, we'll hear from Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN 1000 and ESPN.com. We'll get a chance to hear from Jesse, get his thoughts about the Cubs. They lost 2-3 against San Francisco, day off tonight. And then they'll take on San Diego to round out the first half, an official first half of the first season in Major League Baseball. We have summer of football. Summer of football is very simple. At 8 o'clock every night, we give you some football. We'll give you some of the odds, as a matter of fact. You know, can the Bears win the NFC North? Probably not, but where are the odds for them to do that? We'll take a look at some of the Super Bowl odds as well in the NFL starting at 8 o'clock. And also hear from friend of the program, Desmond Clark, former Bears tight end. He'll be with us. He's got a couple of events going on. We'll hear from Desmond Clark coming up at 8:10. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Also, we have something special. It is called Throwback Thursday. Now, again, we don't know what Throwback Thursday is. Let me just rewind. We do know what Throwback Thursday is on social media, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. We know what Throwback Thursday means. But Throwback Thursday on this program, that's what we have to figure out at 9 o'clock. It's a segment for sure. It's an unofficial segment, but it's going to be a segment. Throwback Thursday at 9 o'clock. Also, we'll hear from Joey Meyer. Joey Meyer, a former DePaul head coach and also Northwestern Wildcats color analyst, will get his thoughts about some of the quality players for the Bulls and some of the other quality players we've seen in the summer league. He'll give us kind of a bio and kind of getting his thoughts on how some of these players are going to be able to work in the NBA. We'll hear from Joey Meyer at 9:30, and plenty of time for your thoughts as well. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Hope that you had a great Thursday, and hope that you have a great Thursday night as we're with you until 10 o'clock. Then it's Dan Le Batard and Mina Kimes right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So let's start here. A couple of things I want to get through here in our first segment before we hear from Jesse. And that is, if you are a P1, meaning if you are a diehard listener to Under the Hood every night, whether it's through the podcast or live on the radio, you've already heard me several times on this show talk about a story that was written by Patrick Mooney from theathletic.com. That story was regarding who is the best free agent ever to come to Chicago. And it's interesting because he had a number of names when it comes to great free agents. You know, all the time I had Andre Dawson coming to the Cubs in 1987. Then he becomes an MVP on a last place team. Crazy, right? We've had a lot of free agents that came to Chicago. Cubs, Sox, Bulls, Blackhawks. We've seen so many of them. But I think what is interesting is that I narrowed it down to a couple of people that he had in that piece. one of the players he had on that piece was Marian Hossa. And the other one was John Lester. Now, if you've heard this before, don't stop me because I'm proving a point here. It's interesting that Marian Hossa gets traded today because we just talked about Marian Hossa several times here this week. Because when we did our poll question at ESPN 1000, when I had narrowed it down just to two people, the two were one, Marian Hossa, or two, John Lester, who is the best free agent signing in Chicago sports history. 57% of you said that it's Marian Hossa. And then you come to find out that the Blackhawks cleared cap space by trading Marian Hossa's contract to the Arizona Coyotes, and they got someone familiar in return. So it's a seven-player deal that included two draft picks, and the Blackhawks received Marcus Kruger, who was with the Blackhawks between 2010 and 2017 and won two Stanley Cups. But when you really think about it for a second, I want you to think about it. Marian Hossa, part of three Stanley Cup championships. Can't take that away from him. It was a terrific signing. But then you think about John Lester with the Chicago Cubs. Think about Lester being the ahead of all of this, having to trust Theo and Jed coming over to the Cubs, a culture that was a losing culture for such a long time. And then John Lester being talked into and signing, of course, a very lucrative deal to a team in which you didn't know if he's going to win a World Series with. And guess what? He really is the face of that World Series championship, amongst others. But Lester is a big part of that. And so now Marian Hossa is gone. I wonder, Eric, let's put that poll question up again and see how people look at it now that Marian Hossa is gone. At ESPN 1000, at Tweet J Hood, when we asked the question to you, the best signing in Chicago sports, best free agent signing, let's do it again now and see how people look at it. Because, as I mentioned, about 57% of you said that it definitely was Hossa. But then you look at the enormity of what Lester brought to the team. Okay, say Lester's not with the Cubs through the World Series stretch. Okay. Say he's not part of the team. Are the Cubs still a World Series champion? Was Lester the difference between the Cubs winning a World Series and not winning a World Series? I think he was a big part of it. I know it's just one guy every 5 days, right? But it's the guy. That the guy is the thing that's holding this Cubs team together at this point in time. You've seen the doldrums and the ups and downs with this Cubs team this year. And the Cubs are now playing good baseball, and they're getting it together. Even though they've had injuries, they've had Bryant out, they've had a number of pitchers out, and the starting pitching has not been great, but the constant has been John Lester. Is there value to that? Unless you're just into numbers, in which you're just going to do the usual sports fan thing, three championships, that trumps one, so Hossa's more valuable. Hossa's part of a team, just like John Lester's part of a team. Are you really going to look at three versus one and determine who was more valuable? Especially when you think about all the young players around the Chicago Blackhawks. And again, we're not going to go deep, do a deep dive in the Blackhawks because I'm not going to lose my audience tonight. But what I will say is that you have Taves and you have Kane, you have Corey Crawford, and you had so many others that were really instrumental in helping the Chicago Blackhawks win three Stanley Cup championships. And then on the other side, there's John Lester. Yes, it's once every 5 days, but it's hard for you to win a championship without an ace. Lester is that ace. And I'm not trying to minimize what Hossa did, but man, think about John Lester with the signing and like worth every dime. We could do a whole segment right here in our first quarter hour about the free agent busts because there's so many of those versus those that actually came through and performed. Do you remember the first free agent that you were excited about that did not come through? I mean, there's so many examples of that. On the north side, south side, of course. Southside, there's so many examples of that from Kenny Williams when he was really generally managing the team. Because Kenny was definitely into trying to bring back that old, the old flame that he knew from back in the day. Oh, I haven't seen you in 20 years, but you're still fine, Kevin Youkilis. You're still fine. Ken Griffey, Junior, you know I've always loved you. but you were always with someone else. You lived in Seattle and I couldn't get to you. I'd love for you to be at my place now. And he got him. Of course, it was a different, junior at the time, and a different Kevin Youkilis, and a different, Manny Ramirez. To have Manny being Manny on my team. I still have your number from high school. You still look good to me. And of course, all those signings didn't work out too well. There's so many examples of that with so many teams in our city where they're trying to get better as a team, but it just does not work out. As we talk about this with Jonathan Hood on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So I just wanted to point that out, that that whole thing with like Hossa and John Lester. And to me, John Lester means so much to the team when they won the World Series and still means a lot right now based on what you see with this Cubs team. And Hossa as a veteran coming in with this team, terrific, part of a championship team. And sometimes can be considered the glue, but there was also some very good young players around him as well. So, again, we can debate that, but I'd love to get your thoughts on that now, especially on Twitter, twitter.com, TweetJHood. Like, the better of the two, Hossa or John Lester. Let me move on to something else because I was thinking about this earlier. When it comes to parody, have you been hearing this like I've been hearing this? You know, a lot of people that do what I do for a living like to be able to create a straw man and just like use one example to be able to create content. And I don't usually, you know, I don't necessarily like to use one person or one opinion. I like to be able to see if there is a trend in that opinion and be able to tell you about the trend in that opinion. And so I've been hearing this on a number of shows regarding parody in sports, especially in the NBA. I'll use your friend as an example. How many friends do you have on social media or in your family or someone that you know that will say that the NBA just does not have parity because you just kind of know that the champion is going to be the Golden State Warriors? So what fun is that, right? For some, again, tell me, stop me if you've heard that before. It could have been from a friend of yours. It could have been on your favorite bloviating sports talk show during the day or on the radio, on TV, on radio, whatever, right? Stop me if you've heard this before. What's the NBA? It's all just about the Golden State Warriors winning the championship. It's about LeBron and Golden State. Do you realize that when you think about parody, and I see how Wikipedia, of all places, has been able to define sports parody. In sports, parody is when participating teams have roughly equivalent levels of talent. In such a league, the best team is not significantly better than the worst. This leads to more competitive contests where the winner cannot be easily predicted in advance. Okay, so when it comes to the NBA, yes, you have seen a Golden State Warriors team that has been running roughshod over the league over the last 3-4 years. You realize something, though? When you look at parody in the NFL, that's not really existent. We continue to see people looking at the NBA, ranking the NBA over the coals. You know why? Because there's so much power in the player. So much power. Where some of you cannot handle this. I've been talking about this a lot this week because I've been seeing how some of you just cannot handle the power of the player. This is where we are today. When I'm going to kind of accentuate the whole point about the NFL in just a minute, but I just want to just point this out. If you continue to pay players $300, $400, $500, $600 million, in our lifetime, we're going to see a billion-dollar player. We're going to see that, right? I mean, in baseball, we're fretting and trying to figure out, is Bryce Harper worth $400 million? Well, no. No, he's not worth $400 million. And just like the same thing with Alex Rodriguez. Same thing with A-Rod. A-Rod was not worth $252 million. But again, if you can get that money, you definitely got to take it, right? A-Rod, one player on a 25-man roster, one man, $252 million for the Texas Rangers in that Dallas market. It didn't work out. didn't work out because in baseball, it didn't seem to work that way. But yet, we're wondering if there's going to be a $400 million player. It very well could be. So when it comes to these big-time salaries that we're seeing, the point is that if there's one player that's making a whole bunch of money, then that usually is going to hamstring a team from being where they want to be. So you're going to get parity in sports. And you know how you get parity in sports is that when you have a salary cap, when you are able to have that competitive balance. And for some of you in this everybody should win a trophy generation that we're living right now. Hey, Johnny, you sucked, but here's a trophy anyway. That doesn't work in professional sports. If you are run properly, if you have great scouting, if you draft properly, man, you're going to be in the upper echelon more times than not. As a sports fan, I don't mind dynasties. But that's just me, though. I don't mind dynasties. You know why? Because the chase is more interesting than you win a championship and you win a championship and you win a championship. Oprah sports. I don't want that in my sports. I don't want that. I would rather see a dynasty and then watch the chase than to say every single year the NFL has someone else going to win the Super Bowl. Every single year someone else is going to win the NBA championship. I'd rather not have that. So I just find it interesting that you hear the belly aching about how people look at the NBA and saying it's just unfair. And also, for those that don't know the NBA very well, have you ever really looked at the history of the league? The league has really been about dynasties. The Boston Celtics in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, winning a championship in 2000. The Golden State Warriors going back and now winning 15, 17, 18. The Bulls with that dynasty in the 90s. The San Antonio Spurs continuing to win and be in the upper echelon of teams going back to 1999. This is what happens now. There are dynasties, and that's really what the league has been built on. And then, Eric, you get to the NFL, and here's what's interesting. There are some people are tired of the New England Patriots, but they're still compelling. I'll ask you this seriously, from me to you. With the Eagles winning the Super Bowl last year, would have been as interesting if there was another team that was taking on the Eagles? The reason why it was compelling is because they beat the Patriots. Did they not?
Right, like trying to take down Tom Brady it's fun to watch. It's fun to root against Bill Belichick. It's always been fun to root against the Yankees. It's fun, like, people say the regular season's tough for the Warriors because they have a target on their back. Those makes those ancillary regular season games more fun because everybody wants to get at that team all the time.
It's more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's more interesting.
And going back to your point about the NBA, 70% of all the finals, like champions, are won by 5 total teams. So there you go.
I mean, once you get on that roll and once you have a team in which, like, okay, like the Warriors, perfect example. The Warriors continue to stockpile talent. They become a desirable destination. And so because of that, they're just going to continue to be, if they don't win the championship, at least in the mix. That's what you want for your favorite team. Don't you wish your favorite team was doing that? This is not an anti-Bulls sentiment, by the way. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that just in sports in general. Let me just take a look at the NFL because all of the bitching is about the NBA and how there's just not enough parity because if you are one of those parents or you're one of those sports fans that thinks that everyone should win a trophy, you're the problem. You're the problem, pal. So the New England Patriots, they lose against the Philadelphia Eagles, but they beat the Atlanta Falcons that crazy game. Of course, we know. The Falcons were right there, and they had a chance to win that game in the second half, and they collapsed, but the Patriots were there. Broncos-Panthers, what do you remember most about the Broncos-Panthers? Right. What I remember most, the Patriots weren't there. The New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks in that Super Bowl before that in 2014. Seattle and Denver in 2013. Baltimore and San Francisco before that. Giants-Patriots. Packers-Steelers. Saints-Colts. Going to 2008 with the Steelers and the Arizona Cardinals. Patriots right there in the mix again against the New York Giants in 2007. The whole point on parity is that you're just not going to get that every year. And guess what? I would prefer the chase. I would prefer the chase than having these teams that are just going to win every year. You know why? Because there's no rhythm to it. don't you get the storyline in sports? The storyline in sports forever has been the good guys versus the bad guys. There has to be a black hat in sports. If you're a Cubs fan, you want your team to be the black hat. I would love for people to, and that Sox fans aside, put the Sox fans aside. You have to think about this. You put the Sox fans aside and look at the rest of the nation, right? When they look at what's going on with the Cubs, you would love for them to be the ones with the black hats, winning a lot of championships. That way, they're the hunted. It's more intriguing that way. Say the Cubs win the World Series again, and they win another one in this Madden era. How terrific would it be? How terrific would it be? Because they're the hunted. And you want your team to be hated. And also, I'll point this out too. The Bulls championships. I know that the if you go to just any old NBA films or any NBA TV and they show the Jordan years, as much as you and I enjoy the Jordan years, the other 49 states hated the Bulls. They were the guys with the black hats because they were champions, because there was a dynasty there. And so I've just been hearing a lot of this about the NBA. And if I'm going to be an NBA apologist, if there's going to be one on the station, it'll just be me. But when I say I apologize for them, what I'm saying is that the things that you're hearing that are negative about a growing, expanding national and international league are unfair. Simple. Simple as that, right? Drop the mic. I would drop it, but I got to keep talking into it. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Patrick in Crown Point on ESPN 1000. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
Good. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks. Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, people always complain when a free agent takes the most money and goes to another team. Oh, he's just all about the money. Okay, so now in the NBA, you got it differently. Players are taking less money because they want to win. You can't have it both ways. People are just sour that those players aren't going to their team. And also, the NBA always has been and always will be a dynasty-type league because it's the only sport where if you have, say, the two best players in the game on one team, they affect the outcome of every single game. You could put Mike Trout and Max Scherzer on the same team. They're not necessarily getting in the playoffs if they got 23 other scrubs with them.
True. That's true. And it's crazy about baseball that way, right? It's odd that way, but because it's the same thing. Like, Patrick, you know, you and I are going to see like this $400, $500 million player one day, right?
Oh, without a doubt. And I'm sure everyone will be complaining that they're overpaid, but they're going to take what they can take.
Yeah, just like you and I would be doing the same thing. You're going to pay me that much? Now, there's pressure on that player. Ask A-Rod. A-Rod wants to shoot up just to stay in the game. ESPN's A-Rod. I'm just saying, though. It's a really strange relationship because you and I both know what's up with A-Rod, but he's so charming. He's just so charming. And like the best baseball analyst in the game. It's just such a weird conundrum. Hey, listen, some people can ignore it just like, oh, you know, Alex, you know, just a tribute. No, man, I know. You know the history of Alex Rodriguez and I do, but he's just so smooth and just the best on baseball right now. It's just amazing, man. How do you reconcile that? How do you handle that? Like, you lied to Peter Gammons and you went into Mike Francesa's studio and said, I'd never did performance enhancing drugs. You were busted twice, but yet he's just great on the mic. Oh, man. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Pat, I'm glad you checked in. I appreciate your phone call. He leaves line open for you. I just want to know a couple things. One, is John Lester now the best free agent in Chicago sports history? Or is there someone better? Because Marian Hossa just got traded. And many of you believe that Hossa was the very best. How do you see that? And also, we're talking about parity in sports because, as I mentioned, I'm bringing it up because I've been hearing so much of it, and I just, when I hear these things, because I'm a sports radio listener like you, I'm really no different than you, except I got a mic,
as I'm listening to sports radio just like you do, and I hear these things, it's like, I got to put, and I just, I'm in my car, and I pull over, and I just write these things down, or I put them in my, on my phone. I said, I got to talk to the Under the Hood Nation about this, because it's just amazing, man. Just amazing. The NBA, it just continues. And we've talked about these stereotypes already this week. And on the station, people talking about the NBA, like, I don't understand the Summer League. To the point where a guest was booked to be able to describe and try to decipher what NBA Summer League is. You bothered Jeff Van Gundy to try to explain what Summer League basketball is. What's the point of it? I don't understand. When there's spring training and Bourbonnais opening up in 5 days. Crazy, man. Crazy. We'll take your phone calls coming up. Also, we're going to hear from Jesse Rogers, his thoughts about the Cubs, as the Cubs are off today, but they've been on a roll. They lost 2 out of 3 against San Francisco, but they've had a good July. So we'll get some thoughts from Jesse and take your phone calls as we move forward. Don't forget Summer of Football at the top of the hour. Yep,
yep. Hey, yo, Jay, look. You know nobody covers the sports like you do, man. Let's go. You're listening to my mans and them, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Kids, it ain't written down. And you know that it's true. There's a lot of famous people with the talent and you wear fame. They say you can be a serious earner. So put your weight on the only afterburner. The story so far is one hell of a mess. So come and let me lead you through the wilderness. Well, I'm a man with a plan.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're aboard here on this Thursday. We'll have Summer of Football coming up at 8 o'clock. Desmond Clark for the program. Former Bears sign-in will be with us. He's got a couple of projects taking place. An hour from now, we'll get Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Coming across from Yahoo Sports, sad. The strongest defensive player for the Bulls, I thought, last year was David Nwaba. And the Bulls have rescinded the qualifying offer on Nwaba, making him an unrestricted free agent. So there you go. No more Nwaba.
That might be trending by the end of the night.
That very well could be.
So many analysts are just talking so much junk about the Bulls right now because they're saying he's a solid player.
And because of this story, we turn now to a 4-time NBA champion. Also from NBC Sports Chicago, it is Will Perdue, and he's with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Will, tell us this. What stood out most about the Bulls season for you this year?
Well,
we'll get back to Will Perdue a little later on here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. From Vito on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet Jay Hood. Vito says, it's close, but I will go with Hosa. He says, both were a signing that signaled the team was going to break out. Both had individual moments that stood out, but Hosa was such a great two-way player in a sport that needs that type of player to be a successful team. So Vito, check it in on Twitter. He votes for Hosa. What about you? If you're just joining us, we're talking about Hosa because he was traded today by the Blackhawks to Arizona. A lot of players going a lot of different places, but Hosa no longer with the Blackhawks. And we just asked a question. This is going to be, again, something that we talked about earlier this week, but if you're P1, I know you're tired of it, but here, but if you are listening to this for the first time, it's new to you. We asked the question, who's the greatest Chicago sports signing? This is from the Patrick Mooney piece from The Athletic. Is it Marian Hosa or is it John Lester? 312-332-ESPN. We also put on the poll at ESPN 1000. And we're talking about the, not necessarily salary in sports, but parity in sports. How I'm not for parity in sports. You guys that love, that think that every kid should have a trophy, every team should have a trophy, I'm not for that. If that makes me old school and gruff, then that's me. But I just think that the chase is more interesting than anything else. The chase of the championship. Especially if it's your favorite team. Oh, if you're a Cub fan, you're hungry for another championship. And the Cubs will win another World Series under Theo and Jed. I just don't know when, but it's going to happen. So we're going to get your thoughts on that. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number.
Let me get to Nick in Bentonville. He's been patient on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hi.
Hey, I just want to weigh in about NBA contracts. It's the only league in the country that they have player max deals, and it kind of handicaps players on how much money they can make. So you can actually quantify how much a player can make in his career depending on his years and if he stays with the same team. So if a player chooses to indulge a free agency for 2 years to go try to win a championship, you can actually have an accountant figure out how much money he's losing, and it would might make sense to go try to win a championship, you know?
Yeah.
You could actually skirt that if you can do a sign and trade.
That's true. that's good economics right there, Nick. It's a good call. I appreciate your phone call. He leaves line open, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. We're going to hear from Jesse as well, his thoughts about the Cubs, as we go to Mike in Tinley Park on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood. Hello, Mike.
Jonathan, nice to talk to you. Jonathan, I'm a diehard Cubs fan, and I truly love John Lester for what he's done for us, but the Blackhawks would not have won one Stanley Cup without Marian Hossa. I'm 70 years old. I've seen a lot of hockey. He's the best two-way forward I've ever seen.
Wow. Wait a minute now. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Hossa was, when he go down the side of the board there, fending the guy off with one arm and one hand in the, I mean, he's just, they missed him so much last year. It's unbelievable. He's just phenomenal.
Man, the best that you've ever seen. You've been watching a lot of Blackhawks hockey. Yeah.
Well, both ways. I mean, he's up and down. He's in the corner. He does the dirty work. He's just great. It's no coincidence they won 3 when he got there. He's tremendous. He should be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Does he go in with a Hawk sweater, hopefully?
I would think so. I certainly would think so. But like I said, I do love Lester, and Johnny's been great. But this guy, Hossa, he's a marvel. He really is.
Okay. Well, I think that's interesting what you said there. Wow. Best forward he's ever seen in a Hawks uniform, and who's been watching the Hawks for so many years. Very interesting. Appreciate your phone call. Leaves the line open, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Liam is in Logan Square on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hello, Liam.
Hey, what's going on, John?
How are you?
Not bad. So I actually agree with the last caller. I think Marian Hossa stepped in and showed Kane and Taves like how to be a pro's pro. And then I also wanted to propose this. So who's the better trade in Chicago history, Chapman or Rodman? Because it's still 3-1. And, you know, Chapman with the only playing for, you know, he's basically a rental, but he's still got that ring. So I'm going to hang up and listen.
That's a hell of a question. I'm going to say Rodman, even for the headaches, everything that he brought to the Chicago Bulls. I'm just going to side with Rodman. The Chapman deal, I will tell you this, he was tested greatly because Chapman was going 2 innings, 3 innings. That's not what a closer does in the modern day. I will give him credit for that. That I think that Madden extended him even more so. And, of course, Madden's still going to be raked over the coals for Game 7 or just the World Series anyway. But Chapman was terrific. I'm going to give it to Rodman. You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking if Rodman's not on that team, are the Bulls winning championships? I kind of think so. I think so.
Think of it the other way around. If Chapman's not on that Cubs team closing those games, do they win the World Series?
Montgomery would have got it done.
There we go.
That's my guy. Montgomery, the soft tossing Montgomery, would have been able to get it done with Cunningham and Guile. That's what I think. It's a whole different type of lefty there. It really is. 105 miles an hour versus like the craftiness of Montgomery. It'd be a whole different story, right? Gosh, that's a hell of a question. That's a hell of a question. Dennis Rodman, as good as he was, and it's a signing that the Bulls did not have to make, but it was something where Jerry Krause loved those old Detroit Pistons. That's why Rodman was here, a Sally, a Buddha Edwards. He loved those guys because he loved the toughness. He was just trying to find protectors for Michael all those years. So that's a good question. Do I get a point for that good question?
You don't. When you say good, you answer a good question, that doesn't count.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. Jesse Rogers was with me earlier talking about Jason Hayward of the Cubs. He just continues to perform very, very well.
Yeah, someone tweeted at me, Rizzo and Hayward switch bodies, you know? I mean, look at the back of the baseball card. You'd think it Rizzo's is Hayward's line and Hayward's is Rizzo's line. Yeah, you got to be – you're just so impressed by the way he's battled. 2 years now working on this, and he's finally coming through, slugging better, getting on base more, all the things you'd want. We thought we'd get out of him. It's kind of funny. He started his career, you know, in the two-hole with the Cubs, fell all the way down. Now he's back kind of solidified in that number two spot. I think Joe's going to leave him there, at least against most, you know, all righties and some lefties. And why not? He's doing what a two-hole guy kind of should do. Little slug, little on base, little bit of everything out of him. Doesn't strike out a ton. No complaints with Jason Hayward. Yeah, he's not going to be 35 home runs. We knew that, you know, kind of when he came here, he wasn't that guy. But he is back to being at least a dangerous hitter.
Also asked Jesse this question. I don't think he's been asked this on the station. I'd love to ask him first run questions, questions that I know he hasn't been asked all day. Because I'm very curious on when the Cubs are going to have to trade someone. And I don't know if that's from the minor leagues, and I don't know if that's from the big club, like a Hap or Bodie or whatever. I don't know what the Cubs are going to do. So I asked him, do the Cubs have enough talent to be able to trade minor leagues or off the bench?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think so. I don't think they're going to go that route. I don't think they're going to weaken a strength unless it's too good to pass up. You never say never. If Hap and DeGrom are the centerpieces of a deal, you start to talk about it, right? But realistically, I don't think so. I don't think they can get a good enough pitcher back to help them right now and give up a strength on this team, which is depth. But certainly they know what we know. Pitching is more important than position player depth. It just has to be the right pitcher. You're not trading Hap for a number five. That's my point, I don't think. You would trade Hap for a playoff pitcher. You would trade Hap for DeGrom. I mean, obviously you'd need much more than Hap. But that's my feeling. So, yeah, they could be dangled just to see what you might get back. But I just don't think the match is there. And I kind of thought this over the winter, that the match wouldn't be there. Back then, I didn't think you could dangle Baez, Russell, or Hap for a number one, you know, number one through three kind of guy. Now you certainly could dangle Baez, but that's not going to happen. But I still don't think Hap especially, and maybe even Russell, gets you back that playoff pitcher. It's just one of those things that doesn't match up. You're either not getting enough back or you're giving up too much, that kind of thing. So I would say, yes, they'll be dangled, talked about, but I don't think that deal is going to get done.
Thoughts there from Jesse Rogers. Not too long ago, we were talking about the Cubs and some of the issues with this Cubs team. All right, coming up, it's a very special thing that I really want you to be involved with. I want my Under the Hood listeners to be involved with something very special that is got something to do with our station and our company. And I got a great prize for you. We'll tell you about it at the top of the hour. Stay by our listening device so you can win this great prize that I have for you at the top of the hour. Don't forget, summer of football right around the corner as well.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Glorious! No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend.
You are listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. So glad you're with us. We've got a great prize for you. We'll tell you about it at the top of the hour. Stay with us and advice on how you can call in and win this great prize. We'll tell you about it at 8 o'clock. We'll hear from Desmond Clark for Summer of Football as well. Right now, we have a very special guest on the line from the V Foundation. The V Foundation means so much to me, to this station, to this company. And we will turn now to the V Foundation CEO, Susan Braun, and she is with us here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000. Thanks for being with us.
It's great to be with you. Thanks, Jonathan.
The Jimmy V Foundation and cancer research hits home with me because my broadcast partner, Jeff Dickerson, his wife, my father-in-law, so many have dealt with this dreaded disease. But the V Foundation is always that shining light every single year and throughout the year. Tell us a little bit about ESPY Day and what ESPN is doing this time around for the V Foundation.
Well, ESPN is yet again hitting it out of the park, I've got to tell you. We're actually having not only ESPN Day, which is next Wednesday the 18th, when the award show airs, but a whole week. So people can go online and bid on auctions, cool stuff we can talk about. There's the Humanitarian Awards on Tuesday night. There's ESPN Golf, all of which benefits the V Foundation, and in this case, our Stuart Scott Fund for disparities cancer research.
And we see that Jim Kelly is going to be honored with the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance at the ESPYs. It's always emotional, but again, it just hits home of how important cancer research is to the V Foundation. Am I right?
It sure does. I mean, Jim, as you know, was diagnosed and then was doing better and then re-diagnosed, and it has been such a strong fighter and an optimist. But like you said, this hits so close to home for so many of us. We've had friends and family members, loved ones, and many of us ourselves have been hit by cancer, and we've just got to fix it, and that's what we're about.
Susan Braun is the Chief Executive Officer of the V Foundation with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I think that one of the things I look forward to is seeing the different auction items for ESPN. 80 amazing different experiences, including some people get a chance to sit in to some of the talk shows, Dan Le Batard, Will Cain, and others, right?
Oh, absolutely. And then there's one where you can have lunch with Mark Cuban, you know, the owner of the Mavs, and make a pitch to him. Or go on the NFL draft and actually announce one of the draft picks. There are some very cool once-in-a-lifetime experiences in, you know, that you can bid on. And, hey, you have a great time doing something that's also really doing good by helping fund cancer research.
Susan, the website for that, let people know where the website is, because I see it on my screen here through eBay. It's live right now, those ESPN auctions. What's the website for people to go to?
It's ebay.com/ESPN. And you can go through eBay, see all these things. I know there's also a link on ESPN's site and also on the V Foundation's website, which is v.org. So people can go see them all or just come online and make a donation. By all means, tune into the ESPYs. The Humanitarian Awards, which is Tuesday night, will be broadcast later. But that's another really cool thing, Jonathan, where ESPN has put together awards for athletes and teams and leagues to really highlight the good that they're doing in the world. And not just either in every walk of good human life, and it's very inspirational.
Well, again, the website is ebay.com/ESPN. As Susan mentioned to you, that the auction is live right now. Go on there, and again, every little bit helps. And again, this hits home for me and hits home for a lot of people here at ESPN 1000, Susan. So I'm glad that we had our conversation and let people know here on my Under the Hood show that that the Jimmy V Foundation is alive and well. It continues to strive to try to find a cure for this dreaded disease. I'm glad you spent some time, Susan. Thank you so much.
Well, Jonathan, thank you for your support and for all of you and all of your colleagues at ESPN are just the best friends we could ever hope to have.
All right. It is Susan Braun, the Chief Executive Officer for the V Foundation, with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. And again, the website is ebay.com/ESPN, ebay.com/ESPN. As Susan mentioned to you, I get a chance to just donate. Donate now. The donate button's on the bottom of the page there for the V Foundation. Again, the sports experiences and some of the great things that you can be involved with is on that website as well. And again, it's all part of the V Foundation. You're listening to Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.